This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to RHAP Live. How's everybody doing? First live show in 2 years. So happy to see everybody back. Yeah, give it up for yourselves for being here with us. It is so nice to be back here doing a live show, and we got a great episode of Survivor to talk about here tonight as High went out. What a good sport, though. Fun episode to talk about. I will have an exit interview with High coming up on Thursday, so be sure to check that out. And of course, Stephen Fishback could not be here with us tonight. He is live right now doing the Know-It-Alls proper, so check out that podcast on your way home tonight. That should be up with Aaron Lobdell reuniting from Survivor Token Genes, but I do have a true treat for you here today, because there's somebody here who I think is a personification of what we're looking for in a Survivor know-it-all. Please welcome, here with us, from season 41 of Survivor, Dr. Evie Jagoda.
What's up? What's up, Rob?
Evie. Welcome.
Rob,
how are you?
I'm so good. I feel like this is perfect because, you know, they didn't actually win the game at all. You know, it worked perfectly for you and Steven, but me, a singular non-binary loser of the game.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I didn't think of that. Perfect song. How are you doing?
Is this the funnest thing ever or what? Like, yeah, I mean, this is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nice to have you here, and love to get your take on everything that went on here tonight. You know, it's an interesting episode because this was the final eight. Mm-hmm. We expected, okay, this is the big move. This was the Shan getting blindsided episode last season. So after the tribes split up, as you know how that works.
I vaguely remember it. Yeah. You know, yeah.
They get back together, and you're thinking big move, and it was like the big move came together like in 5 minutes.
All right. I assumed there's no way High's going home. I mean, because they told us High's going home. So
yeah,
that can never be.
It was like the big move happened so quickly and that you expected it's going to switch to Jonathan now. Mm-hmm. It was like it was an episode where it felt like, okay, but then High wins immunity. And now what? Now we're going to scramble. It was like they had so much time left at the end. Mm. Omer's just like, should I still vote out High?
Yeah.
We still have like 10 minutes left in the episode. Maybe I should think about it. Like, they didn't even like give us like a like way that he could have saved High.
Right. They, you know, he really was digging up the dregs for the producers in that confessional there. I could do this.
Maybe I will.
The plan I set up.
Maybe yeah. I will. So I would love to start with talking about High, who, you know, I thought was a really hard player in this season. I thought that High did a really good job. How many people had High as a winner pick? Very popular win.
My draft is dead now.
Who was your draft?
Well, I had High and Swathi, so, you know.
Okay.
I did all right.
You did all right. I mean, High was looking great.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I feel like that the High downfall, I think, was a couple of moves coming. And I think that for High, I feel like that at the merge or mm-hmm. the earn the merge, mm-hmm. that's a big vote, as you know.
Mm. Well, yes.
I think that when he flipped on Lydia, I think that was the beginning of the end for High.
Yeah, I completely agree. Because you you saw a situation where there were a lot of people that wanted to work with Hai, but no one needed Hai. You know, and I think Lydia was that person who Hai legitimately was her ride or die. Mike, he was, you know, working with Hai, but he had a lot of other options in the game. And Hai left himself in a position where ultimately there was no one who wanted to stick their neck out to keep him. You know?
Yeah, I think that the first mistake for Hai, and it was a tough spot for Hai. As you know, there's only so many names that are available mm-hmm. in that spot. And it was Omer, again, who was really, like, truly, like, Hai's downfall that came to him and said, like, hey, I think Lydia's talking about the big group. We gotta go after Lydia. Let's do it. And Hai decided to do it. Now, Hai was one of the people that could have been voted out that night. But the decision to go with that and not, like, push for let's get it to Marianne. He went after one of his own in that spot that he was also that, you know, we have to go after Chanel also, right. Which was another number that was from the original Vati tribe. I think that he was sort of like had all of his eggs in that basket. But then when Roxroy talked about the All Guys Alliance, that, you know, I think that Hai wanted to be like, hey, I'm not cool with that.
Right.
But I think that his final three that he had working was him and Mike and Jonathan. And I think that he ended up, wanting to do the right thing and not go like with the All Guys Alliance. But I think it ended up not serving him.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And I think, you know, yeah, the decision to not try to keep Vati together, I think, is kind of what you're getting at also, that, like, you just need people to need you in the game. But also, I always... People have said to me a lot that they think Hai reminds them of Ricard for my season. You know,
Okay. Obviously,
brilliant strategists, beautiful men, you know, we know. Mm-hmm. But I think, actually, I always thought that Hai was playing more the Shan game, in some sense. Because, to me, the Ricard game is, you wait for a long time at the merge until now, and you make the move, you know, final eight. Shan came into the merge right away, killing it, running the game, and that person can never, I don't think in this era of Survivor, make it to the end of the game running the game. And Hai came into the merge, I'm putting this alliance together, you know, I'm getting my people, and just people don't want to have someone tell them how to play their game.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And we talked about it a lot in your season of the person who is looking like that they are the person who's like atop the leaderboard too early. That person is often going to be the person who gets targeted next. Mike even said in this episode, "We around here, the person who makes the big move, that's the next person that gets their head lopped off." And Omer has done such a great job in this season.
Killing it, right?
Give it up.
Come
for
on.
Omer.
Absolutely killing it.
And he's done such an amazing job in this season that I'm wondering if this is like the next like evolution of like gameplay in this era of, it's not just like, okay, can I make the big move, but can I make the big move where nobody knows I made the big move? And
right.
and he's been so interesting to watch from that perspective.
Right. No, it's absolutely amazing because he was able, I mean, we saw what he did to really set that up, but so many other people thought that this was their move. Like, Mike is like,
yes,
I'm taking my power back from Hai. Like, this is me getting my vengeance. This is my move. You saw Jonathan say, you know, like, ooh, what a move that would be for me. He's like telling Lindsay about the plan that she was part of coming up with. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. a lot of people took ownership over this. But at the end of the day, I think if Omer does get to the end, like, he knows what he did. We saw it. So he's killing it, man.
Yeah, it's just a really exciting game to watch because when we saw in season 41 at this point, they're like, okay, the big move. Okay, Shan gets taken out. And it looked like, at least in the show, I was like, okay, now Ricard looks like the person to beat. Now, that may or may not be the case from, like, watching it play out. But, okay, and then the next time people are talking about...
Like, well, I wasn't there,
yeah.
You know.
But
I'm chilling.
You were in the tribal councils.
Yeah.
But it seemed like, okay, well, now it's like, okay, now Ricard is the person to beat. And then the next couple episodes focus, like, can anybody stop Ricard?
Right.
We're here with Omer. It's just a very interesting situation for him that still nobody knows that he is the person who is who's making these moves time after time. I mean, there's been four votes since we've gotten to merge groups, and three out of the four times that they've gone to tribal council, it's been he's pulling the strings, and nobody really seems to know that he's doing this.
No, absolutely. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's very unclear to me what the structure of the game is left, because we had, you know, the groups were divided, votes happened that were maybe unexpected. Now it seemed like everyone was pretty much in on this high move. Like, what is the core group going forward? You know, and the only thing that seems clear is that Omer's in with everyone.
Omer is in with everyone, and it's been very fun to watch. But that being said, coming out of this vote,
right,
is Omer in a good spot moving forward? Because I think that question is up for debate.
Right. Well, do you think Hi or Jonathan? I mean, you think it was the right decision
for Omer? Omer? Well, I'm not sure necessarily if there were the votes for Jonathan at that point. For, you know, I think that one of the things that, like, we really don't know is, like, where do things stand with so many of the players after last week's episode? I think we thought that things were going to be shifted more after last week's episode, and it doesn't seem like that there was that much of a shift. So Jonathan seems like that he is getting on Lindsay's nerves more than anybody. You wonder, like, is the Taku 4 still in play?
Right.
Because, they're 7,
right,
and they're 4. If they want to, the Taku 4 could get back together.
Right.
But it seems like that Lindsay might be the person who least wants to do that.
Right. But definitely, I mean, I feel like that scene with Lindsay and Omer, they seemed like, you know, in it very much together. And I think it seemed like she's clearly shifting away from Jonathan. So, I mean, I don't want to get too, you know, I'm so high on Omer right now, so, like, probably he'll go home next week because, you know. But, no, he won't. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
We don't know.
No, but, I mean, I think in every iteration of groups that I can think of, Omer's in a good spot. Like, in the Taku 4, he's close with Lindsay. He's close with Omer. He's close with Jonathan.
Yes.
And the rest of the group is fractured, you know? Like, he's in, I think, really, really a great spot. He's got Romeo still. I mean, like, Romeo?
Romeo was somebody that we didn't get to see in this episode. Romeo voted for High. And so, like, I guess if you're Omer, you feel like, okay, well, like,
he voted for Jonathan.
I'm sorry, he voted for Jonathan. Who is?
We got the live chat. It's great.
I'm sorry. He voted with High. Yeah. I meant to say. So it seemed like that Omer intentionally left Romeo out of the vote. So
right. unless it was like in case High really does have an idol or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I guess that doesn't really matter because then Jonathan would have gone home either way.
Yeah, it just seems like that Omer could go back and pick up Romeo if he needs him. And it would have been interesting to see in this episode that, you know, we went from, just since we've gotten to the merge, the High and Romeo relationship has been so interesting. They had that great scene where Romeo, they talked about what it was like, and High talks about, you know, how he lives his life as just out in the open, and is like, oh, Romeo's like, I'll remember this conversation from forever. And then the next episode, it's like, I hate High.
Right.
I never want to talk to him. They didn't like each other. And then they voted together in the last episode.
Right.
They voted together in this episode. You wonder, are they back on the same page? We didn't really get to see.
Right. I mean, yeah, I do think, like, when we think back on that moment, I just do think, reflecting on High's game, there were just so many opportunities where he could have been bringing people in.
Yeah.
That it seems like, you know, from what we saw, that went by the wayside. He should have had Romeo. You know, like, they had that amazing conversation, like, if only that had been able to turn into, like, actual loyalty, you know?
Yeah, we never really got to know High's, like, master plan of, like, what was High trying to do. And so this brings me back to where I was trying to go with Omer, where he makes this beautiful move. It was so wonderful when he realizes I could turn Mike around and get Mike mad at High. And he has those great confessionals about how, like, of course he didn't say that. It's a good lie. I'm making it up. I didn't tell a bad lie. And
Mikey no likey.
And Mike is like, and Mike, who seems like a great guy, really got spun around. I can't believe it. I'm nobody's puppet. And so he is coming. He wants to go for High. I wonder, for Omer, was getting rid of Mike, and I don't know if that was on the table, would that have been a better move? Because I feel like that Mike was the bridge to Jonathan, and if you take Mike out of the game, High and Jonathan were not simpatico, where High was with Mike and Mike is with Jonathan, and that was like a 3. And I think if you could have taken Mike out of the game instead of High, who had loyalty to Omer, that would that that have been a better move for Omer if it was on the table?
Right. I definitely see that point. I think the difference, though, is like if you could choose between loyalty from Mike, from firefighter Mike, true to his word Mike, or loyalty from High, like I know which one of those people I would want to owe me one. You know what I mean? And I think you can cash in on the Mike check a lot more, you know?
Mike check. Yeah. So if you are, and if you are Omer, if you're Omer, then what do you do next? What is the move where you go on the next vote?
It's tricky. I mean, I think there's so many advantage. Like, I think Omer has so many paths that I feel like, and I don't know. I mean, yeah, you know, take my advice for, you know, see where that gets you. But I mean, I think if it were me, and he's now, like, as you said, he was the leader of so many votes in a row, that I think he could potentially be served by stepping back a little bit. Like, there's a lot of options that he could be like, okay, we'll go with this one, but kind of let other people still think that they're driving the game. Because as we've been saying, like, his biggest strength is that people don't seem to realize that he's running the show. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think if it's not necessary for him to, like, put a lot of force into the next vote, it would maybe serve him well to just hang back, let other people still think that they are a driver, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Evie, this game has been so fun to watch from Omer, but do you think that for the jury, that are they able to, like, if Omer says, like, you know, at the end, if he's able to, and this is like a, you know, the rapid fire game, that it's day 19, so when the jury gets there 1 week from tonight's tribal council, do you think that the jury will be able to turn around? Like, if it comes up where, Mike is going to, like, eventually talk to High and be like, how come you told Omer that I was your puppet? Because I didn't say that.
Right.
Do you think that Omer could win the game, when he is exposed?
Right. I mean, yeah, it's definitely tricky. I mean, I think what he has going for him is, I do think right now everyone likes him, right? Mm-hmm. So he's got favorable vibes, and I also think that people in general probably think he's, you know, a smart, intelligent player of the game. They don't know everything he's doing. But I think when you combine those two things together, like in general goodwill and people already thinking that you're smart at the game, if he's able to get to the end and articulate it, I do think it would be more like, oh my God, Omer, like, I can't believe you did that, man. Like, I think that, like, and I mean, we saw, High just got voted out, and he was like, wow, you guys got me, you know? So, I mean, I would hope that people have that ability to separate the feelings of I got screwed from the fact of, like, wow, you know, you really, you pulled a great move. And it seems like that's what this cast is bringing, but time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, but then they also, the same people that, like, when Chanel cast a vote, like, they couldn't get past that. So, you never know. Sometimes you sort of, like, okay, I'm going to, like, be mentally prepared for if I get voted out of the game. But we'll see what the jurors ultimately hold. Evie.
Rob.
Would you like to hear from some of our esteemed Survivor alumni that are here?
I would love nothing more.
What about an audience? Would you like to hear from some of the Survivor alumni?
Woo!
Isn't this a great audience?
Hey!
Why don't we hear from two gentlemen who put on an incredible party last night?
Woo!
To kick off the return of the RHAP live show, being back in New York City. Please welcome two men that you can hear every week on the Survivor News edition of the Purple Pants podcast. Please welcome our friends, Bryce Isaiah and Wendell Holland.
Let's go!
Come on, you can do better. Yes.
What's up?
How are you?
What's up, dude?
What's up, brother?
How are you, Wendell?
Good, good.
Welcome back.
It's the Purple Pants podcast.
Issa.
Are we?
Yes.
It feels good to be home. I don't know about y'all.
How are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Yes. Of course, you do a great job on talking about Survivor every single week. The Purple Pants podcast.
Okay.
We love it.
Thank you,
we
Rob.
Love it.
Yes. Yes. Any big thoughts on tonight's episode?
Why are you looking at me? When do we talk?
Bryce, they're here to see you, my friend. Look at this jacket, guys. Give it up for Bryce's jacket. My thoughts, I was just whispering to Bryce over there. As far as Omer's game, I'm trying to think, I feel like this man can get to the end and sit next to anyone. And if he explains his game well, and if the jury takes to that, then this guy can win it all. But we were also whispering that if Mike is on that jury,
Omar ain't going to win it, okay? Because Mike going to be like, he didn't lie to me.
Yeah.
Not you lied. I trusted you.
While other people might respect that, fair, I think a loyalty guy like Mike might not love that.
Right,
too much.
Right.
But it was a lot. He didn't say that.
It's a.
But he. But he was. It was only a lie that he didn't say that out loud. Like, he definitely was thinking that. It was just it was a slant lie, in my opinion. You know, I don't know if Mike sees the world that way, but.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
I don't know. You go against Mike. Chanel will tell y'all. You go against Mike.
Yeah.
And he's dead set on you. So I don't know if Omar sits next to a mic at the end. Then I mean that's a great scenario.
Yeah. Do you think it matters a lot in terms of like the Omar has to really now figure out who are the right people to be sitting next to? Because I think you kind of want to, like, if you have a jury that could potentially tilt bitter, that you want to make sure that you are the more palatable of those three choices. Look at like a Boston Rob in Redemption Island.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that if because you know that's my friend in my head.
Yes.
I think that he would want to keep Mike along as far as possible. However, he can't sit next to Mike at the end. If he sits next to Mike at the end, I feel like Mike has rocks. He's got, you know, who else be out there, but he's got pretty strong connections. So I feel like if O could keep Mike along as far as possible and then get rid of him, I feel like it could do well for O.
Who do you think he should sit next to at the end?
I think he should probably sit next to like a Romeo and a Jonathan.
A Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, I
do think that Jonathan is looking more and more like somebody who I think you would want to sit next to at the end.
1,000%.
And, yeah, because I think that, like, and again, I don't know if that was theater at Tribal Council where it seemed like he seemed like at a loss for words at a time where Jeff asked him a question like, well, what do you think that means? And he just, now again, I don't know if he was trying to play dumb.
He wasn't playing.
Okay. I have to let I think I'm going home. But yeah, I feel like that he's somebody that like he might have a vote or two, like a Roxroy or a Mike, but I feel like that he does not have, you know, four or five votes on the jury.
Yeah, it was kind of curious. It was a shame we didn't get to see the telling of how that tribal went down to the people that weren't there, you know?
Yeah, I'd have loved to see that, like just them explain all that happened.
Yeah, I thought that was such a misfire in this episode where, you know, we talked, and first off, I just want to again commend both of you that you guys put together such a great podcast talking all that through last week.
Thank you.
And it was almost like, and I feel like that Survivor does this sometimes where it's like, okay, here's everything in this episode, and then we're not going to talk about it in this episode. And I feel like it would have been so great to sort of like, what did that mean after all of that? We didn't see any retelling, and we didn't see like what it meant for Dre and Mary. I'm sure they must have had a conversation after that tribal council.
I'm willing to bet that they did, but I also, in their shoes, I almost feel like that tribal really hit them.
Yeah.
And they're also playing this game for $1 million. So, and I saw in Drea, I think, a desire to have her voice heard, but also say, I need to lock in and play this game. So you see her hugging Jonathan. You see some moments, Jonathan doing that little run, that little monkey, whatever he was doing, and he ended up.
I was going to do it to come up on the stage.
Do you want to?
Do we want to see it? Do we want to see it? Let's try.
All right.
Oh, my God. Oh,
okay.
Oh, okay.
That just happened. Wow.
Wow. Give it up.
Challenge beast.
Great
I had
job.
18 eggs for lunch.
But basically what I was trying to get at was that, well, great job.
Thank you.
Before we get deep, great job. But no, when they come back, they could either dwell on this very traumatizing moment, or they can say, all right, I'm probably going to explain it one off to everyone.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to get back in the game and try to get by this, so they're not focusing on me or targeting me for that.
Yeah, and I think that if it's like, if I'm Jeff, using a Jeff Probst term, it's like, we're going balls to the walls at this point. Now I'm like, I'm playing the game. I'm in.
Is that a Jeff Probst term?
Or is that a Bryce Isaiah term?
All right, who's going balls to the wall?
Jeff does like talking about balls, though. Yeah. It's fair. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I might put him on the wall, but it's the same thing.
Can we go back to Marianne? Because Marianne, after everything that happened last week, like, Marianne ended up like having like a major upgrade.
Yeah.
Because she had an idol that everybody knew about. She had a known idol in a game with a knowledge is power, where that if Drea wanted, she could take her idol. She ends up playing her idol as part of, she made her point last week. And then we saw tonight, she finds a new idol that nobody knows about. Yeah. So
I do have a question, because, I don't know a lot about, we passed the merge.
Come on.
But so true my story. Question is, Wendy's, keep it cute. No, so my question is, say if Drea does say the knowledge is power to a Marianne, does Marianne then have to say, like, both of my idols?
She has an extra vote if she has an idol.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But now Drea doesn't know she has an idol.
Okay.
So now she has an idol that, like, where she said the secret phrase, everybody knew about her old idol. Now Mike has the only idol that is a known idol in the game.
And you could even have a situation where Drea plays the knowledge of his power, asks Marianne for her extra vote. Marianne's like, take it. I have this idol. No one even knows. Yeah.
Do you see Drea using this knowledge is power against the Marianne or against the Mike?
Well, I don't think she's going to use it against Marianne, because I think she doesn't know that Marianne has the thing you'd want to take. So right. I think that for Mike, it's another thing where I feel like not going in Mike's favor.
Well, and I feel like with High going home, if I'm Drea, I'm going to use the knowledge of power against Lindsay, and I'm going to give me a whole nother idol.
Well, I think that's a really interesting question about where. Because Lindsay, I think, really emerged tonight. She had a very quiet first eight episodes.
Lindsay era.
But then she really came out of her shell last week, and then this was another big episode for Lindsay, and I wonder if we're building up towards maybe Lindsay being somebody that we're talking about as a potential winner. She ends up winning both challenges. That's very rare in Survivor to win the reward challenge and the immunity challenge in one episode. So good job.
Yeah, give it up.
And I would say, I think that you could look at the board and say that Lindsay could be the most powerful player in the game right now.
But listen, if Lindsay were to win this game,
yes,
and we get these edits for back-to-back winners,
they do the same thing, 41 and 42, Abby.
That would be very wrong, I feel.
I feel like Lindsay has enough time. I feel like last season, I feel like it was like the last episode. Then it was like the butterflies came out. And we were here for it. We live for that queen, but I feel like this is still enough time. And not for nothing, I'm sorry, after last episode, Lindsay in my book is an ally. She gets it. And listen, she's somebody that I 1,000% could, would, and will get behind.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that for Omer, while he has played such a fun game to watch, that I feel like that Lindsay might have more connections, where she still has the Taku for just like Omer does. But I think that the possibilities to work with Drea now, Drea and all of her advantages, with High being out of the game, that now that Drea and Lindsay really have this bond, that they can do the vote steal with the amulets. Also that, potentially that Drea is able to use knowledge as power and steal Mike's idol, that I just really feel like that pair of Drea and Lindsay could be one to really watch out for now.
Yeah.
How much did we love watching Drea and Lindsay sitting there like, we could have a steal a vote, just the two of us. I mean, yeah. And coming up, I think we were all talking about, what is the impact of the relationship of Drea and Marianne moving forward in the game. But I think potentially you have to include Lindsay in that conversation as well. And like, you could definitely see potentially Lindsay and Drea emerging a lot stronger from that tribal council last week. So it's interesting to see.
Another interesting part of the episode was that Lindsay told Mike and Omer about the advantage amulet. Nobody else seemed to know about that in the game. I'm wondering, do you think that Omer now does anything with that information now, knowing that, okay, does he potentially want there to be another idol in the game, or does he say, okay, well, let me hold off on getting rid of a Drea or Lindsay because then there is an idol in the game?
I mean, from a strategic point, who would you say is the most powerful player with all of the amulets, knowledge? It's Drea and Marianne, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking to y'all. Okay. So from a strategic point, because, you know, I look like I'm from the bottom, so I would be a Romeo on this point. Who is the person that you would be like,
What is Bryce talking about right now?
Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Or I'm
balls and bottoms.
Thank
balls.
You.
Oh.
What I am saying is, if I am a person that is lateral, not at the top.
You okay?
But who am I looking at that has the most ammunition? It's a Drea, it's a Marianne. So I would assume, why are y'all looking at me like,
no, we're here.
No, but I would assume that Drea is somebody that I probably would be targeting. She has the most. Mm. And if I'm somebody like a Romeo, I might team up with a Lindsay because it benefits Lindsay to get Drea out, because if Drea get out, she got the amulet, then the amulet turned into a flower.
Mm.
Right.
I feel like they're working together right now. I feel like that Drea and Lindsay are a pair right now. I mean, it's hard to tell. The game shifts very quickly, but I wonder if you are Drea and Lindsay, who are you looking at next? And I'm worrying for Omer if maybe they start looking at Omer as a person who is expendable and not part of their plan.
Do they see him how they don't see him how we see him?
Right.
Right.
Do they see him as that kind of mover and shaker?
You know, Lindsay sees him as a person that she's working with. But I feel like that it's very interesting that Drea and Omer really have no connections. That you never see them talking.
Right.
It's interesting to see that they have not really ever tried to target one another because they're two very powerful players in the game, but they are not on the same page. They do share Lindsay as an ally, so it might be a tug of war over Lindsay at some point.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think, yeah, I was, I'm sorry, I'm going away from your question a tiny bit. I'm sorry. It wasn't really a
Please.
Question, though. So anyway, I was thinking about Romeo in this game, because I think he's entering a point where, you know, people are not worried about him at all. But now it becomes a point where he could be a critical, you know, swing between groups in the game. And I'm really curious. The Drea-Romeo relationship is still so weird to me that, like, I thought that they were very close from the early part
yes.
of the game. And then it instantly, they were not together at the merge. And I wonder if for Romeo, he's waiting potentially for someone to say to him, let's vote out Drea.
I question that, because when you look at it, Romeo and Drea seem to be apart. But then Drea kind of like clicked up with High. And now right. that High is gone, what scares me is that since Omer is the only one that is talking with Romeo, maybe Drea might approach High. Maybe Drea might approach Romeo, and Romeo's like, I've been waiting for you to talk
right.
to me. And I feel like he might target O. That could be O's biggest downfall.
Mm,
even though we love O. And sorry, I just got to take this time.
The big O.
It was a slight loved one's visit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk
okay,
about the loved one's visit.
Y'all know I love me a loved one's visit.
Yes.
Bryce was crying, by the way.
I have a little mask on. I was a little crying. But what shocked me the most... Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all saw, they sent the little videos in, you know, Stacey, Mike's wife was like, hey, Mike, you can do it. But for me, it was the photo of Omer Zaddy. Okay. With
Whoa.
The oh. Do we need to make a trip to Canada? Where he at?
Sorry. You know, I just... For me, it's the little things in life, and it's Omer Zaddy for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would you like the disembodied voice of your family members hovering around you at a survivor
yeah.
shelter?
It's like a creepy sort of thing. Like, it's like a tease. Like, oh, is my loved one here? Oh, it's just a picture. So just
Nicole would be like, Rob, you didn't clean the house before you left.
Yeah.
I hope you're doing good.
Did you hack my voicemails? Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's bring up another person to chat with us. I'm very excited that this is somebody that we haven't heard from in a little bit, but I think you'll be very excited to hear from the Edge of Extinction. Victoria Bemonde is here. Didn't give a lot of warning. We'll put you on the spot. Welcome.
Woo. Hey, everybody.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Hey,
Victoria. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Victoria, that we all loved watching you play in season 38. Do you have any strong feelings about Survivor 42?
I do, and it's recent. It's about Omar. First of all, can I just... Is it Omar or Omer?
Omer.
Omer.
Omer. Okay.
Yes.
Omer. Well, one, he's an exotics vet, so off the bat, everyone knows I worked at an exotics vet for 3 years. I love his ostrich shirt. But he's coming out as this sneaky, low-key player. We all know I love that about people.
Yes.
And so I'm really excited to see that he can be getting far in the game and then maybe having the respect enough to win, because we don't really see that person win, and I want that person to win.
Yeah. No, I definitely feel like you were the Omer in your season, right? And, like, with this question of, will people see that from him if he gets the end? Like, do you think people were seeing your game ultimately?
So, I mean, not when you're playing, right? And that's the point. And so I would say I don't know, but I had the horrible experience of Chris being able to tell everybody that it was me.
Universal consensus, you know.
So I feel like as the players get voted out, they're going to have that opportunity to talk, and they're all going to come to the consensus that it was Omer who's been pulling the strings, and that can go either way. But I do think he has enough of a social game to really make it work in his favor. And I think he is smart and articulate. And as long as it's not a bitter jury, which could be half and half, I think he has a good shot at winning.
Yeah, I feel like that talking with the people from your season, I feel like that people did say that, like, they would have given you the credit in the end if you had gotten there. So that, I think, yeah, you were ahead of your time.
Thank you. Should have been on the 26 days.
Yes. I wonder for this 26-day game versus the 39-day game, is what Omer is doing, is this more effective here of, like, okay, let me, like, tell a lie about somebody because before there's a less of a chance of me getting my lie blown up, as, you know, we're on, you know, we're going to tribal council tomorrow night, as opposed to having a 3-day cycle?
Well, I think his lie was really effective. No matter the timing, they were having, like, a heart to heart, right? And he was like, can I really say something right now? Like, he really emotionally played that lie well. Mm-hmm. And so I think he had the right moment. He had the right build up. The timing, it could have been that night. It could have been the next night. I don't think that really matters so much to me. But I think that he played it so well. He was right. He did a good lie. He had the emotional part. And like you said, it was like a slant lie, because I was already feeling that way about Mike, whether he said it or not. So I feel like Mike was already ready to believe that.
Right. And then he voted out Hi, the only person that can confirm whether or not that was true.
Right.
So
it's the perfect crime. When you did the split tribal council in Ghost Island, what was it like when you came back from that tribal council? When you voted out, and this was one of your best moves, when that you really had like Kellen and Laurel like going like you know after each other and not looking at you and Dom. And when you the groups came back together, was there like a whole like blow by blow of what happened at the two tribal councils?
I don't think there was. Sorry, I almost kind of like don't remember, but I don't think. I mean, at that point, me and Dom, you know, well, me, Dom, Laurel, Donathan.
Yes,
we were locked in, and I had my, you know, my thing with Kellen and kind of like a lot of people.
Yes,
but it was just like Michael. We were gunning for him for a long time. He was a target, and I guess at that point, me and Dom were just. We were kind of running the show, so I don't think the explanation to everyone knew at that point. What was it, Michael? At that point,
yeah, I think Michael went home. Yeah. and Jenna.
Yeah. So our tribal was like the one. Michael was the guy that we were trying to get out for a long time, and he was finding things and doing things, and he was just that guy. And
Michael Yerger.
Keep it together, Bryce.
Oh, sorry. That Michael.
Do you know him?
I might have seen a couple of times.
You're a fan?
But when we got back, it was like this was someone who was just a nagging target for a long time. We were running through the Malolo tribe for a while, and it was. We just had to get rid of him, and then, you know, we could kind of manipulate the rest of the game. So people wanted him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Victoria, do you have a winner pick of this season?
Oh, I mean, I didn't do it up front like I usually do. I didn't do a draft this season. I was rooting for High, but with his edit, we all knew it wasn't going to happen. He came in too strong, too quick. I mean, at this point, who I'd like to see win is, I already said it, Omer. I don't know that he will. I think, honestly... I know Lindsay's in a good spot, but I feel like I'd be disappointed if she won just because of the edit, really. Like, yeah. I want more. I want to see more of what she's done, and I'm really more about the winners that are super strategic, and she's getting there, but how much can she say has been hers at this point? I'm really into, like, the resume. So at this point, for me, it's Omer.
Right. It occurs to me as you're saying that Marianne has kind of... She was such a target, right? Marianne, right? I mean, yeah. We love her. And I feel like she's really off the radar, but in such a good spot. Like, yeah, like Lindsay's like jumped to people's attention probably with these back-to-back wins. You know, we talked Omer, Jonathan, all these, and somehow Marianne managed to be in much better set than she started the merge at. Got an idol. I don't know.
She has a lot of allies. At this point, yeah. Like, I'm a little confused, I think, with everyone else. Like, who is together, who is not? But I feel like everyone's willing to work with Marianne, which is
right.
Honestly shocking to me with her personality.
Right.
I mean, she is casting gold, and I love her, but I would have lost my mind.
And I think she's in a really good spot now, because I think that now it's like, hey, all right, the game's moving fast. End game. Big moves, big moves, big moves. And people are looking at the Jonathans and maybe like Mike and maybe Dre or Lindsay. And I feel like that now nobody's talking about the Mariannes and the Romeos. So I think that they're going to end up in the final five.
If you have like a Marianne, a Romeo... and like a mic in the end, I do think Marianne could take it, you know, and that's a possibility.
And we've seen what she can do at a tribal council, right? The way that she can speak, like, that was incredible to watch. So you
I
can
like
fully
that
imagine.
She stuck the landing, and then she talked about the Survivor Jenga, and then, Jonathan, does that make sense? He says,
yeah.
Yes. Like, yeah. Yeah.
And I almost feel like, she's so smart, but I almost feel like, with so many big targets and whatnot, I feel like these people might think that they're all right sitting next to her at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that's when she can come out there and pew, pew, pew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I also say, like, sitting next to a Mike, like, Mike is a pretty likable player. He is a man of a certain age. He goes by that loyalty, and I feel like he has that connection with other people. So, I mean, mind you, if you ask me, I'm Team Marianne, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you really asking me, I was Team Jenny. If you really asking me, I was Team Chanel.
Yeah.
And if you really ask me,
no one's asking.
Stop. Okay. But can I just real quick? Sorry, but just if you're really asking me, it's justice for Queen Lydia. Okay.
Yes.
Of the Juicy BFK. Booty Alliances.
Yes.
But,
all right. I want to get some more people up here. I'm very excited to welcome in a guy who was so great with me on the podcast last week. So excited to have him here at a live show. Please welcome Jamal Shibin is here.
Hey!
Here, Jamal, come sit over here.
Super sad. Okay. Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. How are you, Rob?
Doing great. Jamal, you and I were talking about some of the players that were on the bottom. I know you're a big Romeo stan. What do you think about moving forward for Romeo?
I'm sad for Romeo. I'm sad for Romeo because poor guy, you know, he just gets left out. Like, can't you feel it? You like feel his like, I just want to belong. And it's like, you voted for the wrong guy and he's on the bottom. This is going to be the way that this guy finishes this game is going to be really fun to watch, but really sad.
Do you see him getting to the end?
I do.
I do too.
100%. I think he's the GOAT.
I think he is the Final Four immunity challenge winner who gets taken to the Final Three.
So you don't think he could pull an Erica?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Go ahead, you.
No. No. The Erica edit for Romeo is not quite there. But let me just say, if I may, I feel bad for another group of people. I feel bad for the never watching Survivor again people.
You know, yes.
I feel really...
Yes. Can we pour one out?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I want to pour one out for them. Because they're so sensitive, you know what I mean? Like, they're just so, like, snowflakey, you know, these people. So it's just hard that they just missed out on an incredible episode because they stopped watching. Shame on them.
Or did they stop watching, though?
They all watched
people
it.
In the CBS comments saying, I'm stopping watching, and they've been saying...
You know what? You're right about that. They're going to find out that Jonathan didn't go home.
Mm. Yeah.
And then they're going to come back. And so welcome back, if you're listening, all your...
Evie, didn't those people stop watching in your season premiere? I thought they quit then.
Yeah, I mean... We can't even recognize the show anymore, Rob. I mean, good riddance, though. If they're gone, they're gone. Great. We love it. Get them out of here.
Survivor had its highest ratings, I think, of the season last week also, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. Jamal, who else really stood out to you tonight?
I'm going to pat myself on the back.
Yes.
I called the Lindsay rise. So I'm Lindsay stand now. I just knew that, you know, when Survivor Beast Tori was taken out, Lindsay was just going to take over.
Yeah.
I saw it, you know. Two immunity wins in the same episode? Who can say that?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Summer camp in 2018, I did something like that.
So you were with the children or what? Summer camp in 2018? The math ain't math in perp.
I was a counselor. My bad.
Jamal, I know you're here with your dad tonight.
I am.
Give it up for Mr. Shipman.
Mr. Yes. Shipman over the original. The OG.
Yes.
OGOD.
What was it like watching the show live with your dad tonight?
Oh, it was so great.
A loved one's visit for you.
It was so great. It was the loved one's visit I never had. So that was sad. But I got to tell you, you know, I love my dad to death, but he's such a huge fan of all of these people. He's like taking pictures with them, and I'm his son, you know? It's like, come on, show me some love.
Can we also just say, Jamal Daddy, he got the swagger. We was walking over. He had his hand in his pocket. He had a little...
Yeah, he's from a particular era, you know what I mean?
Like
he has some swag. My pops has swag.
He was walking with Wendell. Me and Jamal was in the back. I said, Jamal, ain't that your daddy? He was like, he likes Wendell.
No, I'm just kidding. My dad is my number one fan. He's awesome. You know what? He was actually in the Facebook groups. He was in the Facebook groups defending me. I was like, oh, take it easy.
Wow.
You got to be careful for those Facebook
groups.
Yeah, they're scary in that.
You know, we haven't talked a lot about Jonathan tonight and where he is. I think a lot of people came into tonight thinking, okay, he's going to be the next person to go home. And he was the decoy vote, but he ultimately seemed like that his position is safe for now. Do we think that Jonathan is safe for a little bit, or do we think that he's going to be the next person to go out?
I do feel like the fact that they had this shot at Jonathan and people really weren't jumping on it, I do feel like maybe his heart, like, I think he's potentially entered the GOAT position, potentially. You know what I mean? Like, if you have that shot, and there wasn't a lot of movement on that, and it makes me think that, you know, I don't think people are going to want him to go on a crazy immunity run, but maybe they're just not as worried about him as they once were. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if you just are watching, like, how players are talking about him, like, Mike is still like, oh, my God, this guy is amazing. But everyone else is like, he's so dumb.
Yeah.
He's, he ruins everything.
I mean, he got 7 triangles in episode 1.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it was right there. He said there were 11 triangles.
I could still see them wanting to get him out of there. I still think there's a degree of them not wanting someone that can win a lot. So I think I can see him going within the next couple.
I think that where the rubber meets the road on the Lindsay Andrea versus Omer potentially is what to do with Jonathan. I think that Omer probably wants to keep Jonathan in the game for longer. And I feel like that Drea and Lindsay are eventually going to say, okay, he's blocking us from winning the immunity challenges. And I think that for Omer, he might feel like, hey, Jonathan is winning the immunity challenges for us.
At some point, I feel like these big guys become a shield. Like, they turn from a target to a shield, and I feel like that might be coming in for some of these more strategic players soon, in my opinion.
And you could also see Jonathan maybe feeling like people like Lindsay are getting in his way of winning immunities, and he maybe tries to make a strike at her that people are like, wait, we're worried about Lindsay winning immunities? What are we doing here? Let's get Jonathan out, you know?
Let's bring another person up here on the stage. I'm so excited for you to hear from. Can we give it up for Long Island's own?
Woo, woo, woo!
Oh. Anybody from Strong Island here tonight? Tiffany Seeley is here.
Woo, woo, woo! Mama Tiff!
I mean, there's nowhere for me to sit.
No. Sit right here.
My skirt's very short.
Okay.
It's like
Tiffany.
When you're on the subway, you have to get your seat for the elderly. You know?
I need a blanket.
Yes. Tiffany.
Just keep your eyes right here.
Tiffany, how are you?
So good.
Yes. I also want to start to invite some people. If you have questions for the panel, if you could make some, some neat lines. There's a microphone over here. There's a microphone over here. And we'll take some questions from the people that are here tonight.
No, I'd like to be like
Tiffany. No side conversations.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm just making sure I'm appropriate. Am I appropriate? You know, just if I'm appropriate, give me a thumbs up. Great.
If you start to see something
you don't like, a little thumbs down. Uh-huh. Great. Like,
yeah.
No good.
Just wants to be this a Facebook? Hero so bad though. Yeah. Windows like, do you want my hoodie?
I'll
take the hoodie off.
I'd rather have your jacket, but we won't even talk about that.
Okay.
All right. That's why I'm not. Yes. I was just asked up 2 seconds ago for a reason. They were like, oh no, not her. We'll put her up last. Because I have all night, Rob. I don't know about you.
Tip, where are your openers, you know?
Yeah. We got the crowd warmed up for you.
Yes.
I was like, I don't know. You guys took the balls. You took the the bottom.
Why are you looking over here?
Your dog and poor Jonathan, who, yes, he understood. Like, I understood I got the tarp for us. Which I never got for us, by the way. Which I still believe I did get for us. You know, you gotta just relax. Poor Jonathan, he can't count that well, and it's like a lot. I understand that. Today I counted 12 and what was it, Evie? It was bad.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't my best moment, but that's okay. Anyway.
It was the old 12 minus 3.
You know? It's eight. It's eight. Yeah. It's fine. I succeed in other ways. We're at our own show right now, Evie. Yeah. Evie, how are
you,
Evie?
We're just watching, yeah.
All right, we're taking questions.
Do you want to take a question?
No, or I could just talk to the wall all night and just watch all these people stare at me.
The thing that people don't know is Tiff will do this whether there's an audience or not. You walk down the street with Tiff, she's talking to the dogs, she's talking like this is her. You're just doing her a favor. So thank you.
Even via text message.
Yes, a group chat, you know?
Listen, I don't need much of an audience, but having you here is everything. So thank you.
Okay. All right.
And now I'm gonna be quiet.
Yeah, let's take some questions.
Rob, some questions.
Okay. All right. Who's over here?
Hi, Andrew over here.
Andrew, don't bend down. You pick up that microphone.
There you go.
All right. Do we say don't touch the microphone? Is that a rule? Okay. All right. I think we're okay.
You know, it was hinted at the preview, and I think we all kind of see it coming that next week we could have the do or die.
Do or die, yes.
How could potentially not having a vote next week maybe affect how things go?
Okay, now, just to refresh our memory here on the do or die, I think, okay, so that one, you mean that if the group doesn't have a vote, okay.
Right, if the person.
So I think with the do or die, the way that it works is that they give the choice for everybody to, if you want to participate in the immunity challenge, you can. So I guess the first question is going to be, who's going to feel like, hey, I need immunity this week, and I'm going to go for it? Certainly Jonathan. Mm-hmm. Is anybody else going to try to go for it?
Right. No, and it's a really great point because, I mean, if we look at what happened with the do or die last season, like, it really did save Deshaun in that episode, ultimately, that he got safety and it seemed like he really was getting voted out. And then ultimately, you know, he goes all the way to take second in the whole game. So, like, it's a very unpredictable element, but it could actually end up, there could be a big target that ends up being safe because of it. Or just out. You know,
right?
Yeah, that somebody who is potentially in danger could just get the, like, we saw Deshaun end up being safe, but like I feel like that next time we're gonna see somebody get the die. I don't think it's gonna go make somebody safe two seasons in a row.
Does it have to be called die? You know,
so final.
That's what they called it.
Die.
So we'll see.
Because it's a die.
No, that's a shot in the dark.
That's what I else did.
Precisely why I lost when I did.
Oh, my God.
It's so confusing, this freaking game. I really want to use the F word, but I'm not going to because Rob would be super mad at me. But this game is so confusing, and you can all sit there and look like you know what we're talking about. But half of you are like, they had a die on theirs? They had a die. Did you know they had a die? Yeah, okay, whatever. Shot in the dark, dialogue looks the same. It's a stupid, Tiff, stupid thing, yeah?
The representation of the people that don't know what's going on. That's
for all of you that really didn't know what was going on during when I didn't know what was going on, raise your hands. All right, show up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Seen.
Thank you for the seven of you.
Okay, all right.
Six.
Seven. Yeah.
So, obviously, Omer is playing, like, super well, and it's like, nobody seems to suspect him so far, but is there much precedent for a winner having that path of going all the way to the end without being figured out while calling that many shots? Usually the, like, stealth-style gameplay is something like an Erica or, like, a Danny Boatwright, but, like, you know, you have people like Victoria who get caught right before the end, and I'm wondering...
Well...
for various reasons.
I think it's about time.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. Like, that's all I have to say.
The name that comes to mind is Tony Vlachos. So I feel like he, in both the seasons, just kind of ran the end of the game, right? And then the end of it was like, yeah, that was me. Like I was always on the right side of the vote. I was steering it. Nobody really caught on to it. No, is that a bad comparison? I feel like
I don't know. My memory of him is that way. But I felt like from what I had saw, he was very like, they knew he was a move maker. So I don't know. And like, I think that you're right. My only thing with O in that is that we have people like Lindsay who are the moves that O is making, they're taking the credit for. And if someone like Lindsay is on the jury and O is saying that, like, I did this and I did that, they might be on the jury like, well, baby boy, no, you did. So I wonder, I love O. I do question how far his gameplay can get him. I hope to the end, but I'm not sure.
I wonder, what about, like, a Sophie Clark in the game that she won? Like, where, you could, okay, hear me out. Like, maybe... Omer is the Sophie and Coach is the Jonathan, or, you know, where you have, I lost the metaphor. No, I found it again. You know, like, they're working together and you have people think that Coach is the one who's, you know, mm-hmm. the big man in the alliance. People maybe think Jonathan's the big man in the alliance, but you get to the end and Omer can talk circles around him. Maybe.
I think another good one is Todd, I think, in China. I think mm-hmm. probably has a little bit of that also, where that, you know, he was willing to let other people, like, be more out in front, where whether it's like the Jean Roberts or like Aaron's, and even like maybe people looked at Amanda, maybe. I don't know. But people didn't look at him, at least in the first part of the game, as being like so much in control.
I think you really also can't discredit being eloquent in Final Tribal. A lot of people on the jury go in not knowing what they're going to do. And really, those speeches, you're there for hours. So, like, what they say in that moment really can have an impact. And I feel like if he is there with somebody as dumb as Jonathan, like, you know, he really just pull it out based on being eloquent.
But you also have to consider who you're talking to. So, like, if you have a bunch of, like, the big strong bros in the jury,
right,
they might not receive that so well. So if, you know, I don't want to name any names, but there are a few big strong bros out there that might sit on the jury and say, I respect someone else's game. I don't know.
Yeah.
And you got Roxroy, too. You know Roxroy going to be like...
Yeah, Mike was still really upset. I can't believe they made me lie to Roxroy. Love Rox.
But you voted for him, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Okay.
Yeah. So considering that
what's your name?
Sorry, Lorenzo.
Hi, Lorenzo.
Hi. If we're expecting the do or die to, play out in the next tribal council, that means that there are only two votes left and a whole ton of advantages and idols left. The worry is that could Omer possibly get advantage, given that he's one of the few people who does not have any type of advantage left in the game.
That would suck.
We don't want to see that. Don't speak that into existence.
You know, it would be, I'm trying to just do the math. So Mike has an idol. So I guess this would be at 6, which is when Suri got advantage getting back in Game Changers. So I guess, I think that the shot in the dark might be over. I think it ends at 7. I don't know if you do shot in the dark at 6. So somebody will have immunity. Drea, would have Mary. To steal. Yeah. No, there's the amp that if, I guess maybe if, like, if Lindsay or gets the do or died next time, Drea could have two idols, Mary would have an idol, and there would be individual immunity. So I don't think it would be an advantage get in. I think it would only be 4 potential immunities. Yeah. He might have make fire.
Yeah. But we also do have still, 2 extra votes? Like, Drea has one and Marianne has one. So maybe instead of an advantage getting where there's no one to vote out, there's like randomly 8 votes and 3 idols, you know. Some sort of fun little mix like that, you know?
It's the new era.
I have nothing to say.
Keep
speechless. Rendered speechless.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say.
Okay.
Since we're talking advantages real quick, and I want to get all the questions, but, like, don't you think it's weird now that there's an idol with no consequence? Like, it feels very counter to the new era mentality, and I feel like the players are not expecting, like, every single advantage in the new era has come with a downside, and I feel like it's really kind of, I'm really happy that it's Marianne that has it because I love her, but, like, I think it's a little annoying. Like, that's been the whole premise of all these advantages.
Interesting.
Hot take. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Let's take
it. It's annoying.
Hey, it's Tzvi.
Hi, Tzvi.
Hey. I would say my secret phrase right now, but I left my idol at home. I'm curious from the whole panel, who this season you feel has resembled the gameplay that you had in your season?
Jonathan. You're welcome. I mean, you know.
What about you, Victoria?
I think I already answered that, but it's Omer.
Omer. Yeah. Evie?
I think I'm a Mike, really, to be honest with you. I'm more of a Mike. Evie, go ahead.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
I don't know. I feel drawn to Marianne in the sense that she's, like, very, just, like, very positive and things like that. But I don't know that that was really me on the show. You know, we're all unique Survivor players, you know? It's hard to lump us. I don't know. Jamal, save me, you know?
Pick someone.
I never thought about this question, but now that you ask it, I feel like that's why I feel so connected to Romeo.
Ah.
Oh. I feel like me and Romeo were, you know,
you were
my spirit animal.
I love that.
Yeah, me and Romeo.
Listen. You and Romeo. I liked Romeo. When he said doo-doo, I was so excited because I love that conversation. Everybody knows if you listen to podcasts, I like that conversation. I'm just saying.
I feel like my...
he said doo-doo. It was my
animal would be... Well, not animal, but my spirit animal.
Yes.
Well, my animal would be... No, but my spirit animal would be someone like Swati. I feel like a robbed goddess that went home extremely to her...
Yes.
I'm trying to think. I
whoever wins.
We were like a two-headed monster, Dom and myself. You guys know that. I want to say an Omer almost because, like, Dom did make a lot more flashy moves and he was, like, a lot more out there than I was. And I was kind of in the cut a little bit, but I wasn't as on the low as Omer. Omer is really just puppeteering everything. And I felt like I made some moves that were visible and, you know, won some immunities and things. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that I can relate the most to Omer also. So that maybe he's doing such a good job. That's why everybody feels like that they see so much of themselves in Omer. But I also feel like that if I had to say tonight, like I feel like that while I say that Omer is the favorite to win, I also feel like I definitely see the scenario where at the end of the season, he's not the person that wins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah.
He's the you should have won guy.
Yeah, I could really see him in the Ricard spot. And I think, you know, going out right before fire. And I think it would be really interesting also that he's someone that has seen so much of the game that I think also him on the jury might have a lot of influence and interesting perspectives. So mm-hmm. be curious about that.
But even I could even see him getting to the end again and just being next to someone. Because as a viewer, we see it like we think that this guy is that guy. But I can see him getting to the end and just someone else who might have between now and then made certain moves or connects the right way with the jury for them to beat him. Maybe he's being built up right now to be that person that gives whoever is about to emerge a run for their money.
Mm. Okay.
Hi, I'm Ben. Whoa. I use
bye, hi. Oh. I've been waiting to use that all night. Do you get it? Bye, yeah. Hi. Yeah. Bye,
got it.
Hi.
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
We get it.
Sure.
Thought it was great.
Hi.
Response sucked.
Just saying. Hold on, sorry. Say, who are you?
Hi. I'm Ben. I use he, him pronouns.
Hi, Ben.
I just wanted to revisit Romeo's vote for Jonathan and maybe try to give him a little more credit.
Yes.
In the event that High played his shot in the dark successfully, I think maybe Romeo might have had a reason to think if Jonathan potentially was throwing a vote on someone, maybe he might throw it on Romeo. I think Romeo might be sort of the tier three person who might go out there. I wonder if you guys see maybe a vote split reason for why Romeo might have voted for Jonathan and who else might be in on that.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out in the next episode, maybe. If I had to guess, I think that it's like an Occam's razor situation where I would guess that Romeo and High got back on the same page at the last vote. And I think that High was feeding Romeo, okay, here's what we're doing tonight, and told him to write down Jonathan's name as opposed to Romeo being looped in on the plan. Because I think we probably would have heard a confessional from him about that. Jamal, as a Romeo whisperer, what do you think?
I think that's absolutely right. Yeah, for sure. I think more interesting is why did Omer leave Romeo out? Because Romeo said, I'm loyal to you. I'll do what you say, right? And he loves loyalty, right? Omer loves loyalty. So I wonder what calculation it was for him to say, like, yeah, we can just go ahead and let Romeo dangle and, you know, vote erroneously, and then, you know, how that plays out for him. I wonder. I don't know.
I mean, that probably speaks to if Hai and Romeo got back together and just we as the audience didn't see it. If Omar saw it, then he probably couldn't clue him in.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that Omar's game could be to go back to Romeo and be like, oh, my God, I can't believe they did that. They told me the last minute. I'm pissed. Why did they get rid of Hai? He was our guy. We have to go after the people that got rid of Hai from the game. And then he could always, like, go back to Romeo and, like, get him, like, gassed up again.
That's a little too cute, I feel like. I don't know. I feel like that might be...
I mean, but what did he... Look what he did last week. Yeah. Like, it was his idea to vote out Roxroy, and then he went to Mike. He's like, oh, can you believe... I can't believe what happened with Roxroy.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't take much. I mean, Romeo now has no one, right? He's the only one left who didn't vote correctly, so he'll just grab onto whatever he's given, probably.
He doesn't have a ton of options. Okay. Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Missy Information.
Yes. Hello.
Tiffany Baruch Hashem.
Oh, Baruch Hashem.
Yes,
and thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you.
I can speak Hebrew if you'd like.
Bless.
It'd be horrible.
I really want to dive deeper into Lindsay. I think that her best bet is to really hang on to Jonathan as a meat shield. I don't think he's going to get a lot of votes in the end. But that requires, like, kind of sticking with her original deal. So what is her path? What move does she have to make to make herself stand out, because she's kind of getting that Erica edit, but where is she gonna pop?
I mean, I wonder what you all think of, could Lindsay actually sit next to Jonathan and win? Because I think everything that Wendell's saying about could Omer, you know, will Omer get credit for stuff? I feel like Lindsay will get potentially even less credit for stuff.
No, I disagree. Lindsay just won two bet.
All right.
Sandwiches. Lindsay is eloquent. Lindsay can speak. And I think if her sitting next to Jonathan, Jeff would be like, Jonathan, why do you think that you should have won? I think Lindsay's best bet is Jonathan. I just think that, can you work with him and, like, say they might be together and it's like, okay, we got to get Dre or something out. And Jonathan, like, won't move or will not be able to hear her strategic move because... Well, we know because, but...
I also think if Lindsay starts winning the way she is, that is then a very big target on her back going forward. And Jonathan saying, well, I mean, I don't know. She's starting to win everything. I think she's liked a little bit more than Jonathan right now, as far as I can see. And I think that might be a little bit of a problem going forward.
I think Jonathan might think that he could just, by being this person that he is, like, brute... force of a competitor and all that stuff. I think he almost just thinks if he gets to the end, he can win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he thinks that. And even if he's next to a Lindsay, who I think might be able to pitch, like, in winning some immunities, now she sets herself apart from an Omer who is doing things and not winning those immunities. So if she's sitting next to a Jonathan, then it's like, all right, I also want some immunities, mm-hmm. but I also have a connection with Drea, and I'm also an ally, and I'm also, you know, so I think she might actually have something to say at the end.
Okay. Let's. I want to get to all the questions, but let's try to just keep it a little tight. Okay. Yes.
Oh, sorry. I'm gonna bend down because
that's okay.
Got it. Microphones.
That's okay.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I'm Erica.
Hi, Erica.
I wanted to ask. So I feel like Jonathan is, for personal reasons, I could see people wanting to get him out, and even for strategic reasons, they don't know that somebody could easily go home without a vote next time. That there's going to be two potentially immune people, but I feel like he also might be benefiting from people wanting to not vote for him because they don't want it to look personal. Mm. And even if it is in their strategic best interest to go after him, that they're scared of how it's going to look if they're now holding his words against him.
Are you saying like a in the last tribal, like a Marianne and a Drea would not want to now vote for him because of the optics of them after that kind of a tribal?
Essentially, but also how they would look at it from their own selves, that they'd think, like, I don't want to do what my heart wants me to do because it feels less strategic.
I think we're so close to the end of the game. I think people are just going to make whatever is the best move at this point. And I think especially they're going to feel like, okay, at some point, like, Jonathan is blocking them from the end. And I think that they're...
Literally blocking.
Yeah. I think they're going to go after Jonathan.
Yeah.
I think it's coming sooner than later. Okay. Mm.
Hi, I'm Addison.
Hi, Addison.
My question would be, so Mike's whole brand is like, I'm loyal, I'm loyal, I'm loyal. But is he really? If we look at who he's voted out after the merge, quote unquote, like, it's been all people that he's been working at some point closely with. And sure, you know, Chanel and Hi wronged him. But Roxroy didn't, and he was very upset about that. Lydia didn't. He literally said he'd take a bullet for her. And then the next episode, there's no, like, oh, my God, I can't believe they made me vote out Lydia.
So it's like, such a good point. Like, it makes me think of Danny from our season, where Danny had this perception of being such a straight shooter and an honest guy. But he was making the exact same moves as Deshaun, who got treated as, you know, a snaky player. And a guy like Mike, he can say, you know, my word is my bond. And people still seem to buy it, you know, despite what he's actually doing.
And I think that's playing the game, too.
Yep.
If you know that that's your strength and you play towards that or into that, which I'm sure at this point he knows that he's got. If you're not being loyal and you say, I'm so loyal, eventually people just believe, oh, he is very loyal. And then they don't even look at it. It becomes this kind of like, can you sell? And am I buying what you're selling? And I think he's good at that.
Mm-hmm.
I think his social game is speaking a lot for him, that it's also not being as well received maybe at the moment, but we'll
see. I think a problem for Mike is that in the game and the way that it goes so fast, that sometimes, like, you're just voting with somebody for a vote. They don't have to necessarily be your lifelong ally that you're going to always work with. And I think that he has a hard time separating two. Even like, you know, Lindsay took him on the reward. He's like, you know, I'm forever loyal to Lindsay. And now, you know, it's going to be, you know, he's conflicted because I think he has like that kind of bond with a lot of different players in the game. And you have to be able to navigate and shift between who you're voting with from vote to vote.
I think he genuinely thinks he's loyal. I think blame shifts. Okay. Like, you know, I was coerced, I was forced. Like, I think he really does think he's loyal, but you're right. He's really, in all reality, he's not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hello, this is Kiefer from Canada.
Hi, Kiefer.
So, now that we've seen almost two full seasons of the new era, what do we want the show to lean into more now that we've seen it play out? The phrase that pays, diversity casting, you know, hand in the paint idol. What do we like and what do we want to retire for season 43, 44 onward, now having seen it almost play out in full twice?
Hourglass goodbye.
Yeah.
But absolutely keeping the diversity casting.
I mean,
I think everybody would agree that the...
It falls on the fence.
Yeah, the casts have been so strong and that, you know, they've had a lot of great people come through. I feel like that casting is one of the things that the show does the best. I think that almost everybody agrees with that. It's just like throwing all of the stuff in there. I don't know necessarily if they need so much stuff.
The phrases obviously have to go, because now that everyone's seen the seasons, so next time somebody says something ridiculous at a challenge, it's going to be obvious that it's an idol. So that's not possible to say.
Yeah.
Get rid of the split tribal councils. What?
Yeah.
What? Did we all?
That was horrible. I hated that.
Yeah, I would say, you know, whatever the structure of the game, it's going to evolve. They're going to think that some ideas are good and bad, and they're going to be bad and good, right? This is how we watch the game. But I would encourage them to lean into the storytelling, right? Like, that aspect of the game is so rich. Like, think about High, right? We just saw this beautiful story about his childhood, and then gets voted out. But it was, like, a really nice, heartwarming, we felt connected to him. And then the way he left so gracefully, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we just got to really know him really, really well, which makes it more enjoyable.
Let the players play, and a little less luck involved.
I do think that this is the first time this happened for High, other than somebody in the first episode, to get their like backstory package and then get voted out.
No, Lydia, they did it to Lydia.
Yeah,
but I don't think that was in the same episode. That was when she went to the Shipwheel Island with Roxroy, and then she got voted out the next episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hi.
Ooh.
Hi, I'm Marcello. By the way, Bryce, every time you say oh, I think of Oprah. So let's trend Oprah on Survivor. My question
oh, wow.
is...
She'd kill it.
I mean, that'd be huge.
That'd be amazing. Yes. Tonight we all talked about, like, the big move of the season happening tonight with Hi going home. What is the next big move in your mind, and who needs to do that to solidify their spot in the final?
Mm, great question. I think, I don't know what the move is yet, really, but I think if Lindsay were to orchestrate a big move, that secures her win if she can make it to the end. Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Jamal slash Romeo could, you know, pull something out. Like, I feel like there's a big move that could come from him that could, like, change the landscape of how we look at things.
I want to see what Drea does with what she has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
she has the ability. I think
she got everything.
In Survivor history, and I wish Steven was here, sometimes the people with the most ammunition, sometimes they fumble at...
Aubrey.
Fumbles yeah, bad, yeah.
They fumble yeah. at the... Is it the finish line? Is it the net? I don't... Touchdown. Yeah. The end zone.
Yeah, I think that the move for Drea needs to be take out Mike's idol and then knowledge is power, Mike, and then you want to take Mike out of the game. The issue is going to be that we're going to potentially have a do or die vote or a do or die game at the next. We may not even have a vote at the next tribal council. Which seems kind of like a miss.
The monster makes the big move. Yeah.
The monster can make a big move. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, I'm AJ.
AJ.
I was really disappointed that we didn't see more of Drea this episode.
Yeah.
Because I think she's going to play a huge role in how this season, you know, turns out with her bag of tricks. I think she has a really good shot if she wins, like, a lucky immunity, or a, not a lucky immunity, but a timely immunity to win the game. What do you think about the possibility of Drea trying to take out Lindsay next vote in order to get the amulet idol and then stealing Mike's idol to have two, you know, this late in the game? That might guarantee almost that she gets to fire making.
That has to play out perfectly like that in order for that to happen. And I don't know that that's
I think it's too cute to do too much. I think she needs a ride or die more than she needs another idol. Like, I think she has plenty of stuff. I think she needs allies. And I think that really for the first time, I mean, since the merge, I feel like she has that in Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like the two of them are more likely to use the vote steal together than they are go after each other and turn it into an idol.
And I think, like, you know, from my perspective, as like from a juror, two idols is, I mean, it would be cool. Like, that would be really cool for her to pull it off, but making big moves in the game is probably cooler, so I don't know.
I think the move to get out Lindsay would be the replacement move, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, the idols are only good until five, so if she's not the do-or-die person, then basically, okay, she could play an idol at six and play an idol at five, but then, like, what does she do after that? Okay. All right, then we have one more question.
Hi, friends. My name's Declan.
Hi, Declan.
Hi. I would love to ask this illustrious panel what you would do if you found yourself dropped into the Romeo spot right here, where it's final eight, you just were on the bottom of another vote, and you are maybe really fully realizing that you've not got a lot of connections and that you've got to do a lot to get... Well, you probably are going to get to the end, but what could you do at this point? To who would you sit next to if you were in his spot? And what would you think, I have to do these things in order to have a shot at securing just enough votes to win?
Romeo?
I don't know. I mean, oh, poor guy. So I think he's just in that spot to get scooped up, you know? So someone is going to fall to the bottom of the six, right? Because he's the seventh. And I think he just has to make it known that he's available, right? To either, like, work with the person who feels like on the bottom and just get two more, right? I don't know that he has a lot of control over who he sits next to. But I think that he could possibly get to the end and make an argument for that, like, you know, I didn't have anybody, and I'm here. Kind of argument. If he can get there and land the plane that way, he might have a chance. I don't know.
So First of all, I'd say to Jamal's point, like, you know, poor guy. First of all, some people didn't make the merge. So some people look at him and are like, oh, my God. Uh-huh. And second of all, if I'm Romeo, at this point, I might realize what it is. And for me, I'm like, let me just cha-ching until how far can I get? Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How many commas can they put in this check? And I don't need to win. So for me, that's I would be like, I'm going to pay my student loans off. Okay? Yeah.
So you'd be playing for third?
I mean, sure.
Okay.
Better than fourth.
In Ghost Island, there was a point
with third, by the way.
There was a point when I think Jonathan saw that he didn't have, like, a path to winning, so he just started shooting shots at people, like me and Dom, and dropping truth bombs and just saying whatever to people. So another strategy is to just start trying to shake stuff up.
Yeah, I feel like it's tricky because I feel like ideally, if there was, like, clear... If the alliances were more clear, then, like you were saying, Jamal, Romeo could be someone to be like, wake up, guys. Like, this is all of our time to make a big move and, like, turn the game on its head. But the game is so fluid and chaotic that it doesn't feel like that's available in the same way that it would be in other versions of this, you know?
I think he just has to market himself as, like, a swing vote. I'm available. I'm also not a threat. Take me with you. I don't see a path to winning for him, though.
Yeah, it's just so interesting because in the pre-merge, he was a person where it seemed like that he was really kind of controlling things at his group. And then now he's, like, he's at the bottom, and I just feel like that's not his style of play to be like, hey, use me. I think that actually Tori was probably, like, better suited to do that, where I think that Romeo wants to cause chaos, but nobody really wants to work with him.
She's still causing chaos, you know?
She's still causing chaos. That's true. That's true. Good point.
Consistent.
Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Declan. To our amazing panel. Any other thoughts that anybody wants to add before we start to wrap this up?
Don't look at me because I'm a horrible thought last minute person.
Tiffany, what did we learn here tonight?
We like an O.
Yes.
How'd that land?
Oh.
Did that land?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Sure.
Okay, Jamal, I'll never look at you the same. I think I'm seeing Romeo, and it's a problem. It's scary. I want to know, because nobody has said anything about it.
Okay.
Would you take the snake's head or the head's snake off? Did anybody catch that? I'm going to take the snake off the head. I was like, what? See, that's the shit that I catch. It's very... Oh, my God, I cursed.
Yes, well done.
Thank you. Yeah. You're welcome. And right. I apologize.
Yes, okay. Thank you all for coming out and talking Survivor with us here tonight.
Woo! Thank you all.
An amazing panel.
You're welcome, Sam.
It was so nice to be back with you all here tonight for a live show. And thank you all so much for spending your time with us here tonight and, coming in. How many people came in from out of town for this?
Woo!
There's just so much gratitude for everybody that spent all this money to come out and travel and see us. So we appreciate you all so much. Thank you so much. We are going to go over to Mustang Harry's a couple of blocks away after this. So hope many of you will come and join us and say hello later on here tonight. Does anybody have anything to plug or anything to?
Well, can we get a thank you to Rob for?
Thanks, Rob.
It down.
Thank you.
I don't know if everyone heard, but Rob has a podcast, and
yes.
So
yes,
really up and coming.
Yes, thank you, Jamal.
Shout out to Rob. Thank you so much for having us. Shout out to all of you guys. I also want to just give a huge shout out to the RHAP staff that put a lot of this together.
Yes,
we appreciate you. Shout out to the RHAP podcasters that are here, that their voices make such a big difference, and we see each other. We see you guys, and just thank you, Rob, for curating a safe space for everyone. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bryce. Thank you. Okay. Be sure to check out the Purple Pants podcast.
Yeah.
Purple Pants podcast.
Yeah.
No, it's a Survivor News as well. And, Bryce and Wynn presents. Okay. We got Philadelphia coming up. And what we doing in L.A., Wynn DZ?
We're doing a party in L.A. for the finale. You're all invited. Welcome to come. It's going to be a great time. Give it up for our party in L.A.
Before we can end, because I know Wendell is back here sweating and smelling.
Oh.
He actually smells delicious. Yeah. I'm sorry.
But Wendell, was there a commercial? You want to say a commercial? Just say a commercial.
Oh, yes. Wendell, did you have a commercial report?
Just quit.
You're putting me on the spot here. Did we see Rob and Amber in one of the commercials?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yes.
Well, I took that note.
Yeah.
And if you have nauseation, diarrhea, and indigestion, you don't know that commercial?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. All
right.
Diarrhea, indigestion. One.
We've got a Survivor feedback show coming up this weekend. Dave Jorgensen, Washington Post TikTok guy, is going to be joining me for the Survivor feedback show. Get your voicemails in if you have them. Thank you all so much for being here with us. Take care. Have a great night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.